Thank you so much. That's one of the old ones. One of the questions that the disciples were often asking Jesus was, who will be greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And I don't think that what they really had in mind was, in that lofty spiritual sense that we might interpret it. I think they were more or less thinking about themselves and the 12 of them and which one of them was going to have, you know, and this theme persisted throughout Jesus' ministry, and he almost invariably would do about the same thing. He would call a little child over and have him stand there, and he'd say, now, you see this little child? You know, whoever's like this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And if you want to be great in the kingdom of heaven, then you've got to humble yourself and become like this little child. And if you don't, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. So today, we're going to speak about what is the finest quality that a person can have as a child of God and the one that pleases him. And it's all about the O. It's all about obedience. So we do have a scripture reading today. I think you'll find it there on the back of this gold-colored piece of paper. So let's stand together, shall we, in honor of God's Word. As always, I'll read what's in the light print and ask you to read what's in the dark print. And I'll join you. This is just a collection of verses. To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you.
If you are willing and obedient, you will eat grass from the land. But if you resist and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken.
For just as through the disobedience of the one man the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man the many will be made righteous.
And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross.
Although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered, and once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, and was designated by God to be high priest in the order of Melchizedek. So Jesus said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am the one I claim to be, and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him. May the Lord bless to our ears and to our hearts the reading of his word. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you this morning for allowing us to be here, for allowing us to hear your word, for allowing us to be together with other believers, and Lord, to also have a message to speak to those who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. But as your people, our desire is to be obedient to you. We know that this is the best way that we can honor you. Beyond our words, beyond our outer acts of righteousness and these things, or our good deeds, there is the issue of heart obedience. And we know that this is what brings the greatest pleasure to you, and also allows us to best reflect you and to reflect your glory and to be that witness that you want us to be for you, Lord. It is the way by which you can glorify yourself in us. And so as we come to the end of 1 year and face the beginning of a new, we pray that this may be the cry of our hearts, Lord, that beyond any of the deeds that we're doing, that there would be a true heart obedience underlying it all at all times. That is our prayer today, and we pray that you will use your word today to remind us of how much you value obedience. These things we ask humbly in the name of Jesus, our Savior and our Lord. In his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. By the way, next Sunday it will be the last time for now that Daryl and Kyla will be able to worship with us, and they will be leaving right after the morning service. Is that correct? So we look forward to seeing them one more time in worship with us, and I'm going to have Daryl share briefly with us as well, Lord willing, next Sunday morning. Also, Tony and Audrey leave early next Sunday for the trip out to Minneapolis, right? And I know that all of us will have them in our prayers as well. Yes, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, and who is the one that God is most pleased with? I don't think it's the smartest. I don't think it's the most able. I don't think it's the one with the most pleasing personality or the ability to influence other people. These are smarts, intelligence, or these things. These are things that we admire greatly in people. And sometimes we wish we had more of that ourselves. But the person who truly pleases the Father, you know, the Scripture says, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the what? The heart. We may see somebody with some speaking ability or the ability to sing well or certain things, and we're like, oh, if I had that, I could really be used of God. Let me tell you something. Any of us can be used of God. In fact, God wants to use every single one of us to the max every single day. And it doesn't matter what our station in life is. That's the beauty of it. All we have to do to be used of God is to be obedient in the place where he's put us. Can I hear an amen? That's not all that hard. It's only hard because of our pride or because of competing interests that we have or other things that we love. But it's not hard. We don't have to go to Harvard and get a PhD in order to be pleasing to God or in order for God to be able to use us. All we have to do is be obedient. So let's look at a few. I know we have before, but here we are at the end of 1 year and beginning another year. How can we best please God in the new year? How can we make the best impact for the Lord in the new year? And the answer is simply by walking with him and being obedient to him. And as we do this, God will lead us, guide us, enlighten us, empower us, and do all those things. Those will be more or less the fruit of it, the outcome of it. But those are not things in themselves. The real issue is to simply be obedient as God speaks to our heart regarding certain things, and of course, especially as he speaks to us in his word. Whatever the word says is said to all of us. So when we read a scripture, we can't parcel that out and say, well, that applies to this person next to me, you know, in the pew or whatever. This applies to this other person, but it doesn't apply to me. No, it applies to me. So God's word, as we read the word of God, it's not just to gain knowledge. It's so that we may obey and that we may actually follow through. That's why God gave us his book, first to reveal himself to us, and then that we may also walk with him in obedience. This is his divine will. And it says that everything that's needed for godliness is contained in these pages. The scriptures say that themselves. Everything I need. There are unanswered questions. There are things that people say, well, what about this? What about that? We'll never know in this life. But all I know is that this is God's inspired word, and it says that everything I need for godliness and for pleasing God is found in these pages. So that's our goal, is to walk in obedience to the Lord. We can know an awful lot, but how is, how is our obedience quotient there? To know a little and be obedient is probably better than to know a lot and not being, not taking it seriously or not applying it. So let's look at a few facts that we know from the Scripture about obedience. Number one, and by the way, this isn't the idea of, okay, I've got to do what he says so that I can be accepted by him. No, we're accepted through the cross. We're accepted through the blood. But I think one of the dangers that we have is that since we preach so hard that it's by faith alone and by trust alone in the Lord and that it's all by grace, I think that we have erred to some degree in thinking, well, but then obedience isn't all that important. He'll just forgive me. Well, yeah, he'll forgive me. But that doesn't mean that disobedience is a trivial thing, and it doesn't mean that obedience is a trivial thing. Obedience is a very, very important thing. So I'm not trying to earn my place with God so far as getting into heaven by keeping a set of rules. But because I'm a child of God and I'm a child of the King and I'm a servant of His, my desire is to be pleasing to Him at all times. So that's where we're coming from. But some things never change about obedience. Number one, obedience brings God's favor. Disobedience brings God's disfavor and discipline. And this is true of Christians. This is true of all of us. Now again, obedience brings God's favor. Now that doesn't mean we can earn our way into heaven. None of us is good enough to earn our way into heaven. So let's not go there or be thinking that way. But nonetheless, in His people and in His children, obedience brings His favor and disobedience brings His disfavor and His discipline. How many here had an earthly father in the household who was a disciplinarian? How many? Okay. Was that discipline good for you? Did you enjoy it at the time? Was it needed? So, was the discipline for no reason? Was it because you had been good and had obeyed? And so, let us not think that just because salvation is free and it's by grace alone and all that, that now all of a sudden obedience isn't an important thing. Obedience is the first thing. Once we get saved, He gives me a new what? A new heart, which is an obedient heart. The new heart is an obedient heart. The old heart was a rebellious heart that wanted its own way and went its own way and did its own thing and wouldn't listen. But the new heart that He gives me is an obedient heart. He says to the Israelites who were so stiff-necked in the Old Testament, He says, there's coming a day I'm going to take out your heart of stone and I'm going to replace it with a heart of flesh. And you will obey me because you want to obey me, not because I've given you a bunch of laws and rules and regulations. You're going to obey me because you want to. Obedience brings God's favor. He is pleased when we are obedient, and He rewards obedience. Again, we're not earning salvation here, but He does reward obedience. In fact, obedience has its own reward. Because anything that God asks me to do is for the good of His kingdom, His eternal purposes, and by extension, for me personally. Even though it may not be something that I fully agree with at the time. Just as what your parents ask you to do may not be what you fully agree with at the time. But there is a reason that your parent is asking you to do that, and they are not out for your ill, but for your good. But it'll bring favor. It'll bring, even in the workplace, obedience will bring favor. Even in other settings, obedience will bring favor. And God is no different. And God is worthy of our obedience. So obedience will bring God's favor, and disobedience will bring His disfavor and discipline. This is true of an individual, and it is also true of a group, of a church, or of a community, or of a nation. And so as we enter this 21st century, our nation really needs to know that as well as a nation. Obedience brings God's favor, and disobedience brings His disfavor and His discipline. And we read them already. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all the nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation, set apart nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites. The Israelites were the Old Testament version of the church. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and so that you may increase. God wants me to do well, but I can't do well when I'm walking contrary to His will. It just doesn't work that way. And in whatever area I'm being disobedient, I don't lose my salvation, but in whatever area I'm being disobedient, I will experience His discipline, or I will experience the natural consequences of my disobedience. And so we avoid the discipline, and we also receive the benefits when we obey. Your two-year-old child, when you say, "Get out of the middle of the street," they not only avoid the spanking, of course, most parents don't spank anymore. I'm speaking hypothetically. But they not only avoid the spanking, but they also avoid getting run over by the car. Okay? So hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey so that it may go well with you and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you. So His promises were based on being willing and obedient. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the best of the land. But if you resist and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. And Israel lived that reality more than once in her life cycle. Number two, true obedience flows from love, trust, and loyalty. There is an outward obedience that is kept up for appearance's sake, because it's not that we're really that obedient. It's just that we don't want to look disobedient to other people. There is an obedience that obeys precisely because they want to avoid the spanking, but not because they wouldn't rather be doing what they were told not to do. There is an obedience that is an obedience of fear. Go to any third world country where there are religions that are based on fear, and they are constantly trying to appease those gods. They're trying to do the right thing, but it's so that that God won't lash out at them and harm them in some way. And there are many who worship and serve our God the same way. There are many who believe that our Father is a harsh Father, and so they are trying, or it can even be perfectionism. There are people that are just perfectionists by nature. How many here know somebody that way? They're just perfectionists by nature, and so they're always chasing the elusive dream of perfection. And so just for that reason, just because they're enamored with perfection, not out of a true heart, but they just don't want to mess up. That's not true obedience. I'm sorry, folks. True obedience is because there is a love relationship, and our loving Father has said, "Now this is my will for you," and we just delight to do the Father's will. Remember Jesus? He just delighted to do the Father's will. Whatever the Father said, that was his delight. And that was heart obedience. And that is the same attitude that is supposed to be in the child of God. And trust. How can we really obey from the heart someone that we don't really trust? And so I think that's where a lot of our struggles are. We just don't fully trust. We just don't think he really does know best, or that he really does have our best in mind. Well, if the Lord loves me so much, why did he let this happen in my life? Come on. Sometimes we think that way, and it's a bad way to think, because it can lead us into, well, if that's the way it is, then, you know, what good is it? You know, I think I've even heard people say that. What good is it to serve him if he's, you know, going to let the, whatever. But true obedience comes out of love, comes out of trust, comes out of loyalty. And that is the kind of relationship the Lord is looking for with us. And that obedience is it's our nature. It's what we do. Number three, obedience is the logical outcome of faith. Obedience is the logical outcome of faith. Abraham was a man of faith. Abraham was a man of obedience. God to say, leave everything, leave your family, leave everything, and go to a place that I'll show you. So he pulls up and he goes. James says, show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith. How? By my works. I'll show you my faith because of what I do, because of my obedience. Because don't be hearers of the word only, but be doers of the word. And so obedience is just the logical outcome of faith. I believe God. I believe what he says. I believe that what he says is right. And therefore, I'm going to obey. I trust him fully, and therefore, I will obey. It may not make sense to me at the time, and folks, it won't all the time, but I'm going to obey anyway because I know my Heavenly Father, and I know that he has what is best in mind for me. Number four, obedience is the crown jewel of discipleship and the defining characteristic of every mature believer. Obedience. And we'll never get beyond that. We never will. We can go to Harvard and get that PhD. We can become a theologian. We can become a missionary statesman. We can rise to the top of our denomination and be the head desk in our denomination. And still, God isn't looking down there and saying, man, am I proud of my son. Why, he started out as just a little country preacher, and now he's the head of the Southern Baptist Convention. Boy, am I proud of my son down there. That is not how God thinks. God says, I'm proud of him because he knows me and he obeys me. And when God brags on us, that's where he brags on us. Not because of our achievements. Our achievements are just by his grace and by his blessing. Can I hear an amen? That's all it is. He doesn't owe us a thing, but he loves that obedience. You see my child down there? If he's bragging on us, and he does, he bragged on Job. But if he's bragging on one of us, does he brag on us? Hey, look how good looking my child is down there. Look how powerful they are. Look how many people they can influence. Look at all that education they got. No, no, no. God's saying, look at my child down there. They're obedient. They love me. And I'm proud of them. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. As obedient children, through him and for his name's sake, we received grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. So true saving faith leads to a life of obedience, the obedience that comes from faith. And you also are among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. And of course, Jesus, we know what he said. there in John 14 to his disciples, if you love me, you will obey what I command. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. To who? To the one who's obedient to me, who shows their love because they obey me. Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own, but they belong to the Father who sent me. Number 6, obedience is the key to usefulness and blessing. So how can we be truly useful to the Lord, and how can we really be a blessing to others when we ourselves are being disobedient to the Lord in a significant area of our life? Now, I know we all mess up, and I know we all make mistakes and all that. And yes, there's forgiveness, and we can pick up where we left off and go on from there. But we cannot be really that useful to the Lord, even if we're doing the Lord's work, quote unquote. But we can't really be that useful to the Lord or that much of a blessing to other people if we're walking in disobedience in a significant area of our life and know it and continue in that disobedience. Number 7, obedience is the key to peace, joy, and contentment. And I might add, and maybe you want to write it in your margin, and all the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Because it's not that we're earning it, but it's just that the obedient life is the life where the Holy Spirit has full reign. Does that make sense? And where the Holy Spirit has full reign, automatically His fruits are going to manifest themselves in us. And you say, oh, I just wish I had some peace. Then just love the Lord and obey the Lord and you'll have peace. Because that's where peace comes from. It's a side effect. It's not a thing in itself. It comes from loving the Lord and obeying the Lord, and then we have peace. The reason we don't have peace is because we don't obey, and we want His blessing in spite of our sin, and therefore we have no peace. And joy. Oh, we can go out and have a good time. We can have a party. Oh, there's a big party coming in New York here, I think tomorrow night or something. I couldn't help but think the other day, you all know how I love puns, and I'm like, yeah, dropping the ball. Is that really the way you want to start a new year? I don't know about that. Oh. But of those people jammed there, and they'll be doing this, the boogie-woogie, and who knows what else, and half out of their mind with drink and all this, how many of those people there are going to have joy, real joy? As the Bible defines joy. You can party, you can do all kinds of stuff, but you can't have real joy, because real joy comes from knowing and serving the Lord and pleasing Him. Can I hear an amen? That's where the joy comes from. So you want peace? You want joy? You want contentment? Love the Lord and obey the Lord, and you'll have those things. Number 8, obedience is the power behind our witness. Now, I know the Holy Spirit is the empowerer, and the power to witness comes from the Holy Spirit. But when I say power here, I use it in a slightly different way. But It's the active ingredient, or what? It's the thing, it's the basis, it's the credibility, it's the demonstration of what we are witnessing about. So, how can I say to someone, you need to accept the Lord as your Savior, you need to be saved, you need to get out of your life of sin, which is nothing but saying out of your life of disobedience, and you need to get into a life of obedience, and I'm being disobedient, and they know it. because they work with me and they've seen how I am not a consistent Christian in the way I walk. So all that means is they have seen my disobedience, and now I'm trying to witness to them and tell them they need to be saved. Yes, they need to be saved, but they don't necessarily want to hear it from me. I heard a fellow down in Puerto Rico, this fellow who had, quote unquote, been saved a whole bunch of times, and whenever he was in the saved mode, he was immediately witnessing to all his friends, but he never lasted very long, and then he was out there, you know, and I heard him talking to this guy, and he said, I'll tell you what, because this guy knew him and had known him a long time and had seen him go through the cycles. He said, I'll tell you what, he said, if you're still serving the Lord like this 3 years from now, come and talk to me. But the obedience is the authority. Because how can I, you know, tell another you shouldn't be doing that, and then I'm inconsistent. So the obedience, the obedient walk, when a person sees, you know, and maybe they don't even agree with you, or maybe they say, you know, one thing I have to say about that person, they live what they, have you heard unbelievers say that? At least I'll give them this. They really believe it because they live it. Huh? That's a good start. That's a real, real good start. And when we're not obedient, it undermines our witness in ways that we don't even know about. And people are out there that don't know the Lord saying things about us when we're not present, that if we knew what they were saying, it would make us cry. But we don't know, so we go our oblivious way, living our inconsistent lives, all the while thinking that somehow, because we've talked to a few people about the Lord, that we've been used by Him. Well, it is good to talk to people about the Lord, but what I'm saying is, let's match it with a life of obedience. Amen? Amen. Number 9. Jesus is the perfect example of obedience. Tell you what. He was already God. He was already perfect. But let's read these verses again. These are amazing verses to me. For just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, and of course that would be Adam, so also through the obedience of the one man, the obedience of the one man, the many will be made righteous. It was because Jesus was obedient on all points that He was able to give His life for us on the cross and redeem us back, basically compensate for every sin committed by anybody, anywhere, anytime since the original sin in the garden right down until the present moment. Is that mind-boggling or what? And His perfect obedience was the reason He could be my sacrifice and take my place on the cross. Philippians 2:8. And being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Obedient to death. Obedient. Because it was God's will that He offer His life on the cross for us. He's praying in the garden, Father, He's sweating drops of blood. If there's any way this can pass from me, please let it pass from me. Nevertheless, what did He say? Not my will, but Thine be done. There's your obedience, folks. That's the real obedience in Gethsemane. Hebrews 5:8 to 10. Although He was a son, He learned obedience from what He suffered, and once made perfect, He became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey Him, and was designated by God to be high priest in the order of Melchizedek. He was already perfect, already sinless, but He learned obedience. Through the things He went through. Isn't that amazing? Already sinless, already perfect, but He learned obedience. Through the things He suffered. Perseverance is the same way. It can only be learned through the difficult times. Amen? I can't just say, okay, here it is, have some perseverance. You can't do that. He learned obedience. See, He was already sinless, and He was already perfect. But He not only was going to be my sacrifice, but He was also, after He did that, He was going to be my what? My mediator. And in order to be my mediator, he had to be able to know what it felt like to hurt, to be weak, and to be tempted. Because how can you represent somebody that you have no empathy with? And so it was the Father's will and plan. He was not yet perfected for that particular function. He was not perfected to be our mediator and our high priest until he had been through the course. And then he was qualified to represent me. Because he says, see, I know what that's like. I know what that feels like. I've been there. Does it not say he was tempted in all points just as we are, yet without sin? There aren't any shortcuts there. He had to go through the whole course. It was his Father's will, and he was obedient to do it. And that's why now he can be my high priest and he can represent me. Not just in some technical way, but it says he can feel. Some of the things you're going through, the Lord's allowing that so that you can be a blessing to somebody else and so that you can be a prayer mediator for somebody. And then Jesus says there where we read in John, I don't do anything on my own. I only say what other my Father says. Every word I speak because it's what my Father gave me to speak. I don't speak on my own. I only speak what he's given me to speak. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone. For I always, you know, they say never. There are two terms, always and never. Be careful how you use those. Jesus could say and mean it and not blink an eye. I always do what pleases him. Hallelujah. He was obedient, and that's why he could be my Savior. Number 10, summary. No characteristic brings as much joy to the Father's heart or brings him as much satisfaction as our obedience. He's a lot more interested in my obedience than he is my looks, my talents, my abilities, my personality, my education, my station in life. And when I stand before him, he's not going to say, why weren't you a plumber instead of a preacher? He's just going to want to know if I was obedient, whether I was a plumber or I was a preacher. He's just going to want to know, was I obedient? To obey is better than sacrifice. And to heed is better than the fat of rams. Some people are caught up on the outer trappings of religion. God is looking for a people that know him, that love him through his Son, Jesus Christ, and that are obedient. And I pray that this will be a year of blessing to each and every one of us as we obey. We will have difficult times. There may be times when we don't even, you know, don't want to obey. The Lord knows our rebellious heart. But if we're there, we need to be honest about it. I've heard people say, Lord, I'm willing to be made willing. Have you ever heard that one? I'm not willing yet, but I am willing to be made willing. And I hope that's where we all are today. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you today. We praise your holy name. We know that you are perfect. We know that you are holy. We know that you never wanted anything for your creation and for your people other than what is absolutely best. And we also know that the key to our own happiness, the key to our own usefulness, the key to a peaceful heart in turbulent times is to be obedient to you, to simply know, Lord, that whatever station you have put us in life, that's not your concern. The concern is, are we obedient in it each day? Are we following your direction? As we read your word, do we bring our lives and our conduct and our decision making into line with your word? Not out of some fear of being punished, but because we love you, because we want to reflect you, because we want to show to others and have your life manifested in us as we walk with you in obedience. Nonetheless, you have promised blessings to those who obey. You have promised a real close relationship. You said, I will love them and my Father will love them and we'll come and make our home with that person. You have promised that, Lord, and that is what we seek more than we seek the pleasures of this world or the approval of this world. Help us to be not worried so much about what people think, but to be more concerned with whether we are pleasing you, truly pleasing you in our daily lives. Lord, that's our prayer for 2008, and we pray that you will do it and work it in every one of us. That whatever our calling, we'll say my number one thing in life is to please my Lord. Father, we thank you, we praise you, we give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. If you don't know Jesus as Savior, would you open your heart and receive him today? And anything you have on your heart, feel free to come and share it.